Christmas traditions shouldn't be stress-inducing. Should I repeat that? Christmas traditions should not be stress-inducing. They should be about joy, family, and the kids feeling all of that Christmas magic.
Are you a rural farming woman, wife, or mother struggling to find peace in your busy life? Do you find yourself trying to squeeze joy out of your daily routine, manage stress that seems never-ending, and somehow reconnect with your passions in the midst of it all? Do you love your rural life, yet often feel overwhelmed by the challenges it brings? Welcome to Cultivate Contentment, the podcast designed just for you. I'm Jessica Knight, a fellow rural woman, wife, and mother, and I get it. I've been there. Right there in the trenches, juggling the demands of farm life, motherhood, and carving out moments to take care of myself. Come along with me and my guests as we explore balancing farm life with personal needs on a realistic level. Practical ways to sprinkle a little joy and peace into your daily routine, nurturing relationships without losing your sense of self, and how to keep stress at bay and prevent burnout, all while staying focused on what we really want, feeling content and settled in our lives. So whether you're savouring a cup of coffee before the morning chaos begins, stealing a moment of quiet on your drive to town, or popping in your earbuds while wrestling with laundry and dishes, I invite you to join me. Let's laugh, learn, and cultivate contentment together. Hello and welcome back to Cultivate Contentment. This is Jess as always, and today we're talking about something that brings me so much joy, Christmas. I am one of those people that it hits the 1st of November and I'm like, yes, let's start decorating. Let's put on the Christmas carols. And Stephen's over there just looking at me with his, you know, Grinch face on because he does not share my love of the Christmas season. It may be a little bit over the top, but it's just who I am. So as this goes to air, December is here. I am trying to get in advance with my podcast recordings because of the summer school holidays, wanting to make sure that I am free to spend them with my kids as a family, doing all of those quality summer holiday things. So as you're listening, December, and with it, the start of the festive season for those who are happy to wait until December. And I know for some, it brings joy as they embrace all that the season brings. And for others, it can be totally overwhelming. Now, I know that my love for Christmas in those years of not little kids, but as they got older and things just got crazy and chaotic and it was a little bit harder to organize Christmas and do all the things, that my love for Christmas dwindled a little bit. But I'm hoping that this year they will embrace their mum's Christmas spirit and not their dad's Christmas grinchiness and enjoy all of the Christmas things. There is this pressure to create the perfect holiday season for your family that can suck all the joy out of Christmas. I am focusing on slowing down and embracing the Christmas that we have rather than trying to create an impossibly perfect Christmas. Life on the farm does tend to create a slightly different Christmas day for us than most other people. The movie image that people have of Christmas is the family spending Christmas morning in their pajamas, opening presents in front of a roaring fire while watching the snow falling softly outside the window. And that's a really lovely image. There are a few things wrong with this picture though for me. The first is that we live in Australia. So Christmas means 30 degrees and trying to find a cool spot for the day. The second is that our cows don't understand that Christmas Day is a public holiday and they refuse to take a day off. So the cows have got to be milked twice a day, 365 days a year, and that includes Christmas. The simple fact is the life we've chosen means that Christmas Day is not a day off for us. And while we have a great team of people working for us, they have families that they want to visit and little kids to spend those Christmas mornings with, and we would never ask them to miss out on those things. So as an adult, it can be easy to overlook just how monumental Christmas is for kids and the expectations that are put on them. The Christmas anticipation begins with all the twinkling light displays, the excitement of Santa's arrival, the longing for all of the things that are on the Christmas wish list. And then we add into that
gatherings of all the family together, and it can be quite a sensory overload, especially if you've got, you know, kids that are a bit sensitive to changes and all the noise and all of those sorts of things. It's in our haste to meet the demands of the day, whether we're rushing through opening the presents or meeting the timeline for getting to lunch or completing the necessary farm chores, that we get to the end of the day and realize we didn't actually have the time to enjoy it. It's not just about the gifts or the festive food. It's about creating an environment where our kids get to enjoy the day without feeling pressured or rushed. We often are so focused on the kids at Christmas that we put an insane amount of pressure on ourselves. So let's talk about dropping the ball during the chaotic Christmas season. It's all too easy to feel the weight of expectations pressing down on us. And I know personally that I have a habit of setting extremely high standards for myself, more than I would ever put on anyone else. It is fueled by love and determination to create a memorable holiday for my family. It can be a hard pill to swallow, though, when you realize that perfection, especially during a time as frenzied as Christmas, it's a really elusive goal. There were plenty of years, especially when the boys were younger, that I put so much pressure on myself to create the perfect Christmas. And I'd say this is really quite common for new mums and babies having their first Christmas. It's an exciting time and you want it to be perfect. But the reality is that perfect and reality often don't go together. As the years have passed, I've dropped the ball on many Christmas moments that I thought was so important, but ultimately were just a blip in time, you know, quickly forgotten. Kids didn't care about them. So embrace the moments because it's going to lighten the load. We are set for another quiet Christmas this year, and I don't mind that. Between milking the cows, we'll have time to spend with the boys, explore their gifts, make memories. And we might have some family come over for the middle part of the day, but the festive season is to focus on what is really important to you and your family. Don't let the hype of the season and the pressure to do everything take over from enjoying it. Allow yourself to drop a few balls. Embrace imperfection. Enjoy Christmas without stress. Christmas presents, I think, are one that add so much pressure to parents at Christmas. The countdown is on. Kids are making those lists, they're sending them off to Santa, and there's often some things on those lists that are just not going to happen. Ours used to be really simple. The boys would draw a picture or add a scribble, and then I'd decide what they were actually going to get. And Christmas Day would roll around, and in all the excitement, they'd forget what was actually on their list to Santa. We are thankfully past the days where it looks like a toy store has exploded in our living room, and the mountain of presents made it impossible to even see the Christmas tree. The times where the toys seemed to be bigger and louder with each present that was unwrapped. And the muttered profanities when you see the little sticker declaring batteries not included. The kids play with most of them for a few weeks and then they get shoved in the back of a cupboard or under a bed to be discovered on the next pre-Christmas cleanout. Fast forward a few years for us now, and welcome to the world of primary school and preteens. It's a tricky world to navigate, where the gifts, they might not be as loud and noisy, but they're carefully critiqued. We have reached the stage of parenting where the boys have much more say into what goes on their Christmas wish list. There is careful thought and consideration into what makes it on to their lists now. Each of my boys, so we are now 11, 9, and 7, and I use the gift-giving strategy of want, wear, need, read. On Christmas morning, each of the boys will find a pile of gifts under the tree representing those four categories. So want is the one present that they've been leaving not so subtle hints about or openly reminding me every second day that this is the top of the wish list. This category, it's usually the big gift that they've been holding out for all year and started asking for in January. It can also be the most expensive thing on the list, or it can be something that I look at and just say, why? Why could you possibly want that? I try to treat this category as one where I pass no judgment, and I often don't understand why they could possibly want it. This category gets some limits on it. There's a monetary limit. just because it's the top of their list. If it's thousands of dollars, it's guaranteed not going to happen. Animals, we have enough pets and farm animals already. And I think pets is a serious decision. The kids need to be involved in choosing the pet. So we steer clear of them for Christmas presents. Lastly, is if I look at it and know they're going to be bored with it in 2 seconds. They might think it's cool, but I'm exercising mum rights here. There have been years where I've caved on this rule, and let's just say that sometimes mum is right. Where? This is a simple one. Whatever your kids need at the moment in their wardrobes. My boys are not at the age where they're really particular about what they wear, so I usually just stock up twice a year on what they need, and most of that is from friends who have older kids and they've grown out and they hand them down to us. So we tend to go for more fun items here than completely practical. For the older two, it's usually sports related, such as a football jersey or a cricket shirt. They're stocked up on these this year, so I'm moving a little outside the box. My oldest is in Scouts, so he needs a backpack that's big enough for longer trips and a proper hiking backpack for when they go on all their long camping adventures. Though technically, you can wear a backpack, so we're fitting it in there. My middle is wanting a pair of headphones with a microphone on them so they can talk to his friends and cousins while they game together. So again, technically, you can wear the headphones. For my youngest, he last year convinced me that costumes fit into this category. Last year, it was Darth Vader and Kylo Ren costumes that he wanted. Not sure if I need to be concerned that he's drawn to the dark side, but that's a whole nother conversation. This year, he is the only one who doesn't have a sleeping bag, and we are planning some possible activities where he's going to need one. So technically, he can wear a sleeping bag. I feel that if I had girls, this category would be easier, but honestly, the boys just don't care about clothes. And we've done all the extras like bathers and jackets and hats and beanies and all of that sort of thing. So they don't need any of those types. Need. This is a practical item that's still thoughtful, but it'll make their lives a little easier. I really like this category as it allows me to get something they need, but to also make it fun. Last year, they needed new alarm clocks for their rooms. And so in my search, I found them clocks that suited each of their personalities and had some handy little functions on them. They have a nightlight, white noise to help them get to sleep. One of them simulates a sunrise. The other one projects stars onto the roof. Now, also in this category in previous years, we've done things like watches, torches, headlamps. My oldest got a Swiss Army knife last year. So they're still things that they think are fun, but it's something that's practical and going to be useful. Some years, this is where the group present fits in. It's not something we do every year, so the boys don't always expect it. It tends to be the years where there's a big thing that you want to get that you know will last for many years. So it's a present that we'll usually bring the three of them together, provide hours of fun together, give mum a minute of solitude. In the past, this has been play fort with swings and a slide. Another year, it was a trampoline. The decision for this year has not been completely made, but there is a thought of a family tent so we can take them camping down the river and maybe do some weekend trips to the beach and go camping and that sort of thing. I'm really not the camping type, but I've said if there is toilets and showers that this may be a possibility. Read. I will always encourage books, and they usually get a few books in this category. We do make use of our local library. We go nearly every Saturday morning, and the boys will often give me a list of books and I'll order them in through the library website so they know they're there, and then they'll browse and that as well. But there is certain books where they like to keep them and they're special ones to them, especially if it's a series of ones that they'll want to reread again. So we've moved on from picture books, moved up to chapter books and graphic novels. So at the moment, some of their favorite series are Bad Guys, Minecraft Zombies, it's all about Minecraft here, Dogman, they've got Star Wars graphic novels, The World's Worst series, my oldest likes those ones, my youngest has just got into Wings of Fire, and then the oldest two also really like biographies, sports ones predominantly, like cricket players or football players, and I love that they're reading those things, though my oldest does come to me sometimes with the language used in them and has a few questions, and then we have difficult conversations, but books are always fantastic.
fantastic. I am thinking of to put up a link to all of the boys' favorite picture books and what they're reading now on the website. So I'll pop a link in the show notes to that page when I get to it. And hopefully that will be in enough time for people to have a look before Christmas if you are looking for book ideas for your little ones. I'll be completely honest and confess that gift giving is my love language. I'm the mum who wants to shower her kids with everything their hearts desire because it makes me feel good. I've learned to accept that sometimes less is more, and this formula of want, wear, read, need helps me to rein in my festive spirit a little bit, and it ensures that the gifts I choose are not only appreciated but also useful. There's no more forgotten gifts hiding in the back of cupboards, which is a win for both tidiness and my sanity. So Christmas traditions. As a mum of three young, energetic boys, I've come to accept that our Christmas traditions may not fit the cookie cutter mold or the expectations that I had. And you know what? I'm okay with that. In the spirit of keeping things honest, I will admit that our Christmas traditions have been very irregular. Would I like to have created Christmas traditions with the boys from birth? Yes. But there is always this internal tug of war between wanting to create unforgettable Christmas moments and the practical side of my brain that says, why put more stress on yourself at an already busy time of year? So here's the thing I've realized. Christmas traditions shouldn't be stress-inducing. Should I repeat that? Christmas traditions should not be stress-inducing. They should be about joy, family, and the kids feeling all of that Christmas magic. So here's what I encourage you to do. Wrangle the kids and your husband into sitting down to chat about what makes a holiday season special for each of you. I suggest using bribery in the form of ice cream for the kids and whiskey for the hubby, not the kids. You might be surprised to find that holiday traditions you have been stressing about haven't even registered on the kids' radar. If your husband is a Christmas Grinch like mine, they definitely haven't registered on his. After a chat with the boys last year, we made a short list of the Christmas traditions that actually matter to them. Topping the list is advent calendars, because what kid doesn't light up at the idea of a chocolate-filled surprise every day? Now, my boys have a homemade masterpiece, courtesy of their creative aunt. It's a quilted advent calendar with a pocket for each day. So it allows me to be creative by blending together chocolate treats with Christmas books, movie nights, and even a backyard campfire. So I just put a slip of paper in that says what the treat is that day. Then we come to the topic of Christmas carols. I would have them playing from November, my husband not so much. And as for the boys, well, I was singing along to a song the other day and my middle says to me, "Mum, are you singing?" And I looked at him and I said, "Yes." And his response was, "Can you not?" Yep. So that sums up the Christmas spirit around carols in my house. We did attempt the local carols a few years back. It was definitely an experience. Note to other mums, hyperactive squiggly boys and sitting through a long night of sometimes slow Christmas carols don't mix. So I've embraced watching the carols at home, sitting back with a glass of wine to enjoy the carols, and I can do it in peace and quiet. And all the Christmas Grinches in my house don't have to watch if they don't want to. Though this year I'm feeling a little brave. I'd like to attempt the carols again. The boys are a little bit older. They're no less energetic. But baby, see if this is the year that they embrace the Christmas spirit around carols. And if not, I'll happily enjoy them at home. Either way, it's about the journey and enjoying the attempt. Next comes the Christmas Eve church service. Let's be real. Taking three little balls of energy to anything resembling sitting still is about as enjoyable as herding cats. Our Christmas Eve tradition includes a family service at church made up of energetic youngsters and somewhat patient parents who have almost reached the finish line of Christmas morning. The main attraction is dressing up as characters from the nativity scene, and generally drama ensues where they all want the same costume. Let's rewind a few years. Imagine me, a young mum, looking at other mums of newborns and toddlers who seem to seamlessly navigate these events and feeling that envy come creeping in. How on earth were they managing it all? I felt like I was drowning. And the Christmas tradition that was meant to bring joy only brought a feeling of failure. But here's the truth. I've come to embrace that their life, their story, their family isn't mine. I saw one moment in their whole day and I had to make the decision that would work best for my family. Fast forward to today, the boys are at an age where these events feel a tad more manageable. Can I guarantee there won't be fights over the costumes or that they will get up to some mischief? No. But I think that will last forever with having three boys. Our story has its own rhythm, and that rhythm has to come with a bit more wiggle room. Interestingly, the boys have started delving more into the story of Jesus at school, sparking interest in the story of Christmas. It is certainly different from the days when we were essentially telling them to sit still for reasons they couldn't fathom. They're beginning to understand the magic of Christmas in all the different forms that it has. So as we immerse ourselves in the chaos of the holiday season, I encourage you to embrace the reality that Christmas traditions may not mirror the picture-perfect ideal. My advice to you is to gather your family and discover what truly makes the holiday season enjoyable for each family member. Let your traditions reflect your family story, embracing the journey with all of its quirks and surprises. Try out the Christmas strategy of want, wear, need, read. I'm also thinking that possibly I could fit board games into one of the categories because the summer holidays are looming. We need things to keep these kids busy, especially when we hit those 40 degree days over summer and you can't kick them outside for the day because it's just way too hot. So adding in some activities, either board games or card games or even some outdoor ones, like we had one of the water slides that just lay out along the grass in the backyard one year, and they thought that was fantastic. We would just spray it with dishwashing liquid and they were set for a morning before the weather got too hot. Good luck to all navigating this Christmas season. May it be filled with laughter, memories, just the right amount of wrapping paper chaos, and may you make Christmas traditions that help you to cultivate contentment for your family.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Cultivate Contentment. I hope you found inspiration and practical tips to help you on your journey towards a more contented life. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing or following the podcast on your favourite platform. And don't forget to leave a review to let me know your thoughts. For more content and community support, be sure to follow on Instagram at Grounded Farm Wife. Remember, you're not alone in this journey. Together, we can continue to cultivate contentment in our lives. Until next time, take care and stay grounded.